everyone, and welcome to Futures in Languages, a podcast showcasing stories from UCF's Modern Languages and Literatures Department alumni. I'm your host, Christina Torres, and today we'll be talking with Emily Irigoyen, who graduated with a BA in Business Management, a minor in Latin American Studies, and spent some time in our Spanish classrooms here in the Modern Languages Department, and she graduated in 2022. Thank you so much for joining us, Emily.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
We're so happy that you could join us today. We're going to start with a general question, a first question, which is, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from?
So I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and I attended UCF under the National Hispanic Scholarship. Mm-hmm. So I started in 2018, moved to Orlando, and I knew I wanted to study business, but I wasn't sure if I wanted to pick up like a minor in Spanish or some sort of language-related addition to my degree. I think I started with a Spanish minor and then swapped it to Latin American studies just because I wanted to participate in study abroad programs, learn more about the history and culture of the language since I speak it myself. But yeah, I graduated last year and now I'm working full time in Miami.
Awesome. So you graduated last year, which means that you were part of the cohort that started pre-pandemic and then had shutdowns and then came back to campus. That must have been quite an experience to have.
Yeah, it was challenging, but I was able to do a lot with classes being virtual. I worked for university in multiple capacities. I worked for the College of Business. I worked with the Spanish department as a course assistant. Mm-hmm. And I also was fortunate enough to study abroad before the pandemic, before everything went virtual, mm-hmm. to Mexico and Cuba with UCF.
So you talked about studying abroad. Could you tell our listeners a bit more about that experience, where you went and what you did?
Yes. So for Cuba, I attended a spring semester class learning about the history, culture, political environments within Cuba. We met once a week, night class, to prepare for the trip. And then over spring break, we were there for a whole week. We went to the University of Havana, Hemingway House, various cultural landmarks. But we also went out, had fun, and it was a very impactful experience for me, not only in terms of getting to practice my Spanish and learn about a culture completely unfamiliar to me prior to the class, but also I made such good friends with the people on the trip. We still stay in touch, and I feel really, you know, honored to be a part of that group that went. And it was led by Ann Pruka and Casey Tart, who relayed you to me for this podcast. Mm-hmm. Ann's great, has just been so supportive and helpful, taught me a lot about Spanish. She really knows her stuff. Mm-hmm. And for Mexico, I was there for 2 weeks with the Burnett Honors College teaching English to students who were bilingual. They spoke Spanish and the native Tzotzil language in Chiapas, which is the very southern part of Mexico. And it was something that instilled in me the desire to teach eventually. I'm currently getting my master's right now in international business, and I'd love to be an adjunct like later down the line, later in my career, because you learn so much from teaching others, and I just have a passion for it.
It sounds like you had a really great community of folks in your classroom, and also shout out to my awesome colleagues in the Spanish team in Modern Languages and Literatures for your Cuba study abroad. Could you tell us a bit more about the kinds of things you learned in the class that prepared you?
Yes. So we read a couple of books in class, a lot of current event articles that kind of explain the current situation in Cuba, especially with the embargo and like the restraints with travel that were happening. I think we went in 2019. I believe that they were taken down and then put back up, if I recall correctly. But going to Cuba and seeing that things were still in place, like rations, and then there was this very luxury, just lively tourism culture there, like juxtaposed with the reality that is Cuba and a lot of restrictions and sanctions and limits. Like there's no internet on the island. You need to buy Wi-Fi cards to use your cell phone. We also did like our own individual research projects pertaining to Cuba or something relating to Cuban history. And some of my classmates were saying like biomedical sciences or something in the health field. So they did research on the medical infrastructure within Cuba. Mine, though, was on Ernest Hemingway and how his time there on the island impacted his writing. And it was super cool because we got to see his house, the boat and the statue in Kohimar, and it was really neat because he's one of my favorite authors, and to do research on him and then go to the island that he spent so much time on was really neat.
I would imagine that that would be a really impactful experience to walk through the actual house and the actual place where he was and he wrote, and that sounds really cool. So special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you talked about your study abroad in Cuba. You also mentioned your study abroad and your teaching experience in Mexico. You mentioned how it really inspired you to think about teaching in the future. What mm-hmm. kind of preparation did you have with the Honors College before going off to do that study abroad in Mexico?
It was similar to the Cuba program, where we had a class that met at least once a week to kind of prepare and get ready for the trip. We devised a lot of the lesson plans before we left and kind of refined them as we went along with the days, because we were there for a week.
Yeah.
We were split apart though within our group, and we were working with students from the host university in Chiapas. So we were teaching different levels of Spanish, and we kind of had to adapt what we had planned based on the level of skills the students already had. But a lot of it was, I think, like TEFL concepts that we just were able to apply a lot of old learning materials to from previous groups, because this was an ongoing partnership with UCF. So it wasn't the first time we had gone there to teach.
It's nice to be able to have those long partnership relationships with our institution and partner institutions so that we can provide those opportunities to students. And how wonderful that you were able to have both of those in your undergrad experience. What have you been up to since graduation?
I have been working full time since July. I moved to Miami in May, right after I graduated. Had a couple of months to kind of settle in and explore, but moving to a completely new city was something I hadn't done before, other than going to UCF. But it was kind of like going from the like high school bubble to the college bubble. You know, you're surrounded by people your age, kind of doing the same things, going to class, and moving down here to start my full grown adult life. The big girl job was kind of daunting at first, but I love Miami. I think that it's a very dynamic, diverse place. There's always something to do, lots to see. And with work, I think that kind of summarizes my job as well, because it's never the same thing. It's something different. We work on projects, so it's highly dependent on the client, the type of work that we're doing for them. And right now I'm just learning a lot about data analytics, data visualization. And I hope to get more into like the people side of business, since my background in management was largely HR focused. I'd love to work on projects centered around diversity and inclusion or learning and development, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you work as a management consultant analyst for mm-hmm. an international company. And what does, I mean, this is hard to say because you just said you what you do varies so much, but what would a quote unquote typical day maybe look like for you, or one of your quote unquote typical days, knowing that things can vary?
Yeah, consulting is such a broad term. It's hard to like kind of explain what I do. And it's like a running joke in the business environment. Like consulting is just an empty word that's hard to encapsulate all the tasks or the problems you solve. But a lot of my day is client meetings or team meetings on our side to work on deliverables, tasks that the client has hired us for. And that can be anything from staffing issues or data access issues. We are hired for a specific problem and we propose solutions, and hopefully, ideally, if we do our job correctly, they're adopted and then the business can perform more effectively and operate at a better level than they were before.
And that sounds really interesting. And for our listeners who might be curious, could you, and I know you might not be able to reveal specifics, but could you maybe give a for instance of a kind of problem that you've encountered and maybe how that might have been resolved?
For sure. For example, a company might have a really high turnover rate and they're not sure why. So sometimes they hire our company to kind of do workshops or analyses into why people are leaving, how quickly they leave, because it costs more money to rehire and get new people than to train or upskill people that are currently at the firm or give people a reason to stay. Like, people leave companies for a number of reasons. It could be, you know, the benefits don't align with, you know, what they have going on in their life, or their goals change. So a company could hire us to do that analysis and maybe design a new training program to keep people on board longer or something like that.
Okay, all right. I don't
know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, thanks for that example. I mean, I'm not familiar with how the inside of the business world operates. So again, I ask for our listeners out of my own personal curiosity too.
Mm-hmm.
So you've talked a bit about your job and your move to Miami. I know that you've studied Spanish language in our department. How did the Spanish program prepare you for your life now, or your undergrad programs in general?
For sure. As a non-native speaker of Spanish, I feel like taking Spanish classes and being forced to practice with native speakers and people who know the language better than I do really pushed me out of my comfort zone. And that's how you learn a language, is by speaking it and by practicing it. And it can be kind of daunting. As somebody who is half Hispanic but didn't grow up speaking it in the house, it's a challenge sometimes when I can't think of a word or I misspeak in Spanish because it's not perfect. But being at UCF, being around a lot of people who spoke Spanish at home and were still taking classes just because they wanted to, taught me a lot. I also did a lot of self-study, like, outside of the classroom. I have an embarrassingly high Duolingo streak right now. Like, I have the little golden owl icon. It is that long.
I would say that is something to be proud of. Way to, you know, show off that Duolingo golden owl, I would say.
I love it. I find language learning to be so fascinating. I'm trying to learn Italian and Portuguese right now, too. I think that it really just enables you to connect with people on a different level and makes you so much more employable too as at a company, especially in the business world. Being able to speak multiple languages makes you that much more necessary, whether it be like on a specific project or just having that skill under your belt.
Yeah. And how would you say Spanish has influenced your work situation specifically? Have you been able to use it in your job?
Yeah, I have. Being in Miami too, it's helped me navigate better, I think. And it comes in handy down here since I'd say the majority of places in Miami, Spanish is spoken. I still need to practice some more. I get a little timid sometimes when I speak, but I think that it's helped me understand objectives better too. If people want to use Spanish to explain something to me, I can listen and understand, and we can get to a place of mutual understanding. Whereas before, if you know, we can't communicate, then there could be misunderstandings or some misalignment with how we accomplish a task. And yeah,
I would imagine that you'd also have some sort of rapport building by using Spanish if your clients coming into your consulting are also from a Spanish-speaking background.
Definitely.
And I would also imagine that you have ample opportunities to practice in Miami.
Yep, everywhere. The store, the grocery store, in my apartment building, my friends. Sometimes it's actually interesting. Anne told me about a concept that if you meet somebody in a certain language, like if you both speak Spanish, but you meet in English and use English, it's harder to start using Spanish around that person because it's not the first language that you interacted with each other in.
Mm-hmm.
With some of my friends, we did start speaking in Spanish together, and that's how we continue to speak. But it's interesting. Some of my bilingual friends, we just use English, even though we could speak Spanish, but it just wasn't. I'm forgetting the name of this phenomenon. I should have looked it up.
Yeah, I mean, like, term for that or not, I think, like, I also have experienced this, especially with family members that I grew up speaking Spanish with. Like, it's just very odd to code switch into English with them.
I think that's what it is called, code switching.
Yeah, the going the back and forth, the using of the different languages, or frankly, it would apply to different varieties of the same language too. But that's that's for a class time. That's for an applied linguistics class. So that's all very cool to hear. So we have a new segment in our podcast called Ask Our Alumni. We have a question today from Miley. I'm just going to go ahead and play her recording. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
How has picking up another language changed the way you view bilingualism?
Feel free.
It's a very good question. I think that growing up, when I really didn't take Spanish, like learning Spanish seriously, or view it as something that I needed to really work hard at and practice every day, I think that when I got to a point of fluency where I can say that I can speak Spanish, has made me respect people who learn it themselves, because I wish I was fortunate enough to grow up in a house where I was taught both of my family's languages. Like, my mom's Italian and my dad's Bolivian. I didn't learn Spanish or Italian at home, and now having to work to get to a place where I can speak it it's so challenging, and it's like a superpower being able to speak multiple languages and communicate with people in, you know, a way that's not the most intuitive towards you. It's really just a respectable thing, I think, and it makes you able to connect with people and understand people in a way that you wouldn't be able to before.
Everyone listening, you heard that from Emily. I think that's really well worded. We're going to leave it at that. So we have one final question for our recording today, and that is, what advice would you offer someone who is interested in studying Spanish or really any other language?
Just do it. Practice it every day. And I think before I say just do it, you need to make sure that it's something that you wholeheartedly want to work to accomplish, because I've taught Spanish, I've taught various subjects, but specifically languages, it's hard to learn something that you don't want to learn. And with foreign language in school, a lot of times people are forced to take it to graduate with a certain, you know, level of Spanish or whatever credits. And it's impossible to learn a language if you're not willing to work for it or want to get to a point where you can use it fluently or semi-fluently. So if Spanish isn't the language for you, like if you're really passionate about something else or you really like another language, then work for that one. But make sure that that's what you want to do and understand that it's a commitment and it's a long-term commitment as well. Taking classes too, like I found that practicing with friends, practicing with family is really crucial as well, but taking the classes and learning the fundamentals is something that I don't think I would have been able to get to this point of my Spanish understanding without taking those classes.
Instruction is definitely a game changer, especially when you're learning an additional language as an adult. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that up to our listeners. And also the idea that it's a long-term commitment, because language learning does not happen magically overnight. So it takes time and it takes effort. But I can hear that you've put that time and that effort in, and that is paying off to you, not just in the experiences that you've been able to have in your study abroad, but also your current experiences in your job consulting in business in an international company. That sounds like a really exciting field, and I hope that folks who are interested in pursuing business can hear firsthand from your story about the importance of additional languages in that repertoire of skills that you bring to your job.
Mm-hmm. I feel like learning Spanish too has helped me become more in touch with the cultures of my family. Like my dad was the first one to be born in the States, and both sides of my family kind of lost the language component in some traditions when they immigrated here. But it's helped me understand more about something that I wouldn't else have been able to understand, and appreciate other different backgrounds as well.
Mm-hmm. There's a deep connection between language and culture, as we know in studies and research literature, in case studies, and we know that language shift generationally does happen, but what a great opportunity that you had to go ahead and kind of take back that knowledge, you know, in a way, and to forge that deeper connection. So for our listeners out there, remember that it's never too late to dig into your cultural history with language and then to see where that can lead you in the future too.
Very well said.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Emily. It's such a treat to chat with you. I am excited for what's next in your career, and maybe we'll see you back at some point in the future.
Thank you kindly for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Futures in Languages. I'd like to give a shout out to DaVideo Guy for our intro and outro music, downloaded from freesound.org. I'm Christina Torres, and our featured guest today was Emily Irigoyen. Tune in next time to hear more alumni stories from Modern Languages. For more information about Spanish and other language programs in the Modern Languages Department, please visit our website at cah.ucf.edu/language.